You're listening to 88.9 KETR. This is Notably Texan, and my guest this afternoon has been at the helm of a Grammy Award-winning premier polka band out of Denton since 1979. This multi-instrumentalist likeness has been immortalized in The Simpsons. His band's music has been featured in both small and big screen, and he co-produced a Sarah Hickman record. Plus, he's bringing his band Brave Combo to our area to perform tomorrow at the Paris Oktoberfest. The one and only Carl Finch from Brave Combo is my guest. Man, it is so great to speak with you. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, Matt. How you doing?
I am wonderful. Yeah, so much better now that I've got you on the line, man. I am such a fan of Brave Combo's music, and I've been wanting to talk to you personally for years. So I'm going to try to stop thanking you repeatedly like a fanboy here. I hate to do that to you, but
it's okay. I don't mind that. It's all greatly appreciated.
I got to commend you for sticking to your guns all these years, remaining independent and staying true to your art, because not all the artists out there who kind of make music that's outside the norm can necessarily stick with it for as many years as you have.
Well, I've realized a long time ago I didn't really have a choice if I was going to play music, because this was the stuff I wanted to play. And if I, you know, the big payback when you're in a band,
yeah,
is when you're on stage doing your thing, you know.
Sure.
All the other stuff, the driving, the touring, the getting in and out of airports, the setting up at clubs, sound checking, waiting, yeah, hours and hours, you know, that's
right,
that's the downside of it. But
sure,
you know, if we get a chance to play the music, then you know, that's what's important, and it would not be much fun if I wasn't indulging myself.
Absolutely. Now, I know that you're originally from Texarkana. How did you end up making your way to Denton?
I didn't really know what I wanted to do when I went to college. I graduated from Texas High in Texarkana.
Okay.
I knew that I wanted to do something that involved art. I was probably leaning, well, at the time, I was thinking I would be an advertising or a graphic designer. That's what I wanted to do to make money. And so I thought that the University of North Texas, which was North Texas State University at the time,
yes,
ETSU, they had a really good art department, a good advertising art department, a good graphic design department. And I'd heard cool things about the school, you know, the vibe of it. And I liked how Denton felt. And so, you know, I thought, what the heck? So I came to Denton, got a degree in graphic design, and decided no way in the world would I do that for a living.
Okay. Right.
Didn't know what to do, and went back to school and got an MFA in drawing and painting. And during at the end of my getting that degree, I started working with audio installations and sound, and exploring things more conceptually.
Oh, wow.
And I was really drawn to the idea of what Muzak was all about.
Yeah.
And what the underlying purpose of Muzak was, that most people think that it's like elevator music.
Right, or hold music.
Yeah, and it's really not. It's actually, it actually has another name called stimulus progression.
Ah.
And it's the Muzak Corporation was designed to provide music to businesses who subscribe to them that would maximize the workers, get the most out of the workers during
okay.
the day.
Wow.
So they would play music, a certain kind of music, at the beginning of the day, and they figured that roughly 10, 10:30 and 3 and 3:30, there's a lull in normal, let's say, 8 to 5 work days.
Yeah.
And so they would change the music to rev it up and to be more, to get more productivity out
yes.
of workers. So that's the whole idea of Muzak. But the thing that intrigued me was taking music and using it to, using it for crowd control, whether you're at a live show or whether it's something like this, just the power of music. And I started thinking about how we put labels on music, and how some music we just, as a, let's say, as a society, or let's just say that mainstream as a society, kind of compartmentalized different kinds of music, and I couldn't figure out why it was that way. So one time I was in Texarkana, and I stumbled into a Woolworth store. I was on break from college, and they had a ton of LPs, cutout LPs on sale. this was toward the end of the 70s. That was right when it was this buzz about CDs.
Oh, really?
You know, okay. Right at the end of the 70s, at least in the industry, people knew things were going to be changing as we entered the 80s. So I think a lot of those mid-level distributors were just ditching their stuff. And luckily, there were a ton of polka records. In this Woolworth store. Just a ton of them, and I didn't really know much about it. I didn't grow up with any kind of polka awareness, and
really,
but okay. I liked the jackets. The jackets looked really interesting and kind of kitschy, but kind of interesting. And I started, it made me think, as I had been thinking, like, wow, you know, these people make these records with probably no real expectations in terms of breaking into the mainstream.
And exactly,
they're not expecting to get this on the deep cut rock station, you
yeah.
know, but they're doing it for some reason, you know, they're still doing this. So I bought a bunch of them. They were really cheap. And then that, made me start to, I started really liking polka music a lot, you know, outside of the aspect at the beginning that I thought was novelty or funny. I really started digging the music. And I started wondering why, as I had been wondering why this music in particular was the music that was always the butt of the joke, or, you know, and then in research, I, oddly enough and timely enough, it all goes back to immigrants.
Wow. Yeah. That is timely, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, so I've been dealing with that whole thing, this whole career, and realizing that a lot of the prejudices that apply to music, apply to the music of immigrants or music of tradition,
yeah.
music, roots music, all that music has strife involved in it. But polka in particular, but still to this day, was just being kicked around relentlessly, like for no reason. So I started wondering, like, well, what if you played this music, you know, like just a rock band? What if you just played this music with normal rock instrumentations and just see what would happen?
Okay.
So to make and the story is much longer than that, to make
sure.
a long story a little less long, that's sort of why I ended up in Denton and sort of why all of this happened at the time it did.
Wow. That's fascinating. Carl Finch from Brave Combo is my guest this afternoon, and I honestly would have assumed that you just kind of grew up with a love for this type of music, but that's fascinating to me to hear that you kind of discovered it later in life, and it really got its hooks in you. And obviously,
yeah, I didn't even really, other than a friend of mine whose dad had an 8-track player in his car when I was in high school.
Yeah,
we would ride around and listen to his dad's 8-tracks, and some of those were Lawrence Welk and Myron Florin and Bob Ralston, Lawrence Welk's organist.
Okay.
And we used to love riding around, seeing the sights of Texarkana, but listening to that music.
I bet.
As the soundtrack.
That's got to have been surreal.
It was. And I loved that whole thing. But that's it. That's the only polka that I heard really to speak of before I was in my late 20s. And I stumbled onto those other albums.
Wow. That is a great story. Thank you for explaining that, because I was not
sure.
Actually totally clear on the whole derivation of the band. So that you set me straight on that. First spoke with you on this program about 10 years ago probably, and at the time you talked about how hard it was for music that's outside the norm to even get heard on the radio anymore. Again, that was 10 years ago, so I can only assume that the struggle is probably even more real today.
Oh, it's worse than ever. I mean, we're really lucky that we did what we did at the time, because there was a lot there were in fact at the time, even though it didn't seem like much, there were at least a lot of college stations and a lot of community stations that were willing to go out on a limb in those days. And there was also the punk scene, which was sort of turning everything upside down. And so we found, oddly enough, a sympathetic music community out on the road that was mainly in punk clubs.
Wow, okay.
The scene at the time was so great because you didn't know what you were going to hear. We'd have a show in Atlanta, and we'd go through and we'd be put on a bill with a bunch of other bands. And, you know, the bands were just doing the craziest stuff. It was almost like there were no rules at all.
Yeah.
And so from that point of view, we fit right in. And so we found an audience pretty quickly because we were just so unusual. And we were also taking like songs by Jimi Hendrix and,
yes,
you know, The Doors and stuff, and turning those into polkas and waltzes. And that wound up, oddly enough, getting the attention of a writer at Texas Monthly who wrote a piece that was picked up by Rolling Stone.
Oh, okay.
And then once that happened early on, and then once that happened, we thought, geez, what do we do with this?
Yeah,
you know, right. And then Rolling Stone ran another little piece in Random Notes. It's when Kurt Loder was the editor of Random Notes. You know, he went on to be one of the big
MTV,
guys.
Right.
MTV, yeah. But he was one of our first, if not first, big supporter in New York City.
Oh, fantastic.
Through Rolling Stone, of all things.
Wow.
Our first press we got was Rolling Stone.
Okay, well, that's a pretty good one to have.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about mind-blowing right and left. We couldn't believe it. And they even ran a picture, you know. Jeez.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was obvious that we were, to them at the time, something of a musical novelty, but our weirdness got their attention. And so we thought, well, we knew enough at least. We know we don't want to be encumbered by a label of being a novelty band, but we're sure as heck going to take advantage of this opportunity. And so I remember that first trip to New York, we didn't know what we were doing. A friend of mine managed Joe King Carrasco and the Crowns.
Oh, yeah.
They were kind of making waves. And so I just said, well, we got to get to New York. And I told him, the next time y'all go to New York, we'll open for you. I don't care how much you can pay us. I don't care where it is. Just that's a way that we can get our foot in the door. And sure enough, man, they called and said, yeah, we're going to be playing here. Come on up. We did. We didn't even have a van. We bought a van.
Right.
And we just kind of cobbled together a strange little trip and wound up losing about $4,000 in a matter of a week.
Well.
But it worked. You know?
I was going to say, it sounds like it was worth the gamble, you know?
I don't know if you remember, if you know who Lester Bangs was. He was a really important rock critic.
Okay.
At the time, that movie Almost Famous
was
about a writer who idolized this famous writer, and that famous writer was Lester Bangs.
Gotcha.
He happened to be at our show.
Oh, really?
In New York, and then we were suddenly the darlings of the Village Voice, and he would include our stuff on his page in the Village Voice. So there was some things we just knew we had to do, and there was a heck of a lot of luck involved.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine, even though that sounds just crazy, man, there was a way to do stuff in those days. And even though we have the internet and the access to a billion things, there's almost too much.
Yeah, the saturation is just way too much now.
It goes beyond anything that we would ever have imagined. And I don't think that what we did then, we could even do now. We were so used to just kind of thinking something crazy and acting on it and and assuming we could pull it off. And most of the time we did, somehow.
Well, it's an amazing path that the band has gone down through the years. And we're talking with Carl Finch from Brave Combo on 88.9 KETR. I really love the band's knack for taking other people's music and making it all your own. You know, some people do a cover, and it's like, oh, okay, this is basically sounds just like the original, but that is never the case with Brave Combo when you cover classic rock tunes like I Can See for Miles and Double Vision. You make them all your own, you know, and that's so cool. Other bands don't seem to be able to do that the way your band does.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. We try things that don't work, too. You know,
sure.
A lot of things. But, man, I wasn't a great big Foreigner fan or anything, but I thought there was something kind of cool about their sound, even though I wasn't into that music. And when that song happened, I fell in love with that song. And, you know, and then years later, I realized that it kind of reminded me of a cha-cha.
I never would have noticed that until you guys did your recording of it.
And I was so happy that it came out so well, you know, and we tried to cop all those guitar lines with the horns and stuff, and a lot of that is really fun, but it's also, you do try a few things that just totally suck before
well,
you come up with something.
That's
you know?
The creative process, right? I mean,
yeah.
Vision always seems to get the best of me. The best of me.
Sometimes your idea is best just kept in your head. It's a great
sure.
idea.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Carl Finch, I wanted to talk to you while I've got you here about how hard it is to get radio play with music that's, you know, not inside the norm. And I'm often told that I'm one of these kind of last remaining DJs who kind of literally gets to pick out the music that I want to play on the show each day, and everything's Texas-centric here, so obviously Brave Combo has a big part in my playlist. But you had such kind things to say all those years ago about public radio. I wanted to kind of hear your take here, updated here in the modern era, about how important public radio is, not just for, you know, discovering music, but for getting, you know, unbiased news coverage and everything else that people need out there.
I guess if Trump's elected president, we'll lose it and we'll find out just how important it is. But
I suppose that's always a possibility. That's one thing I have not heard talked about this election. I know, I remember back when Mitt Romney was the candidate, there was all this talk about how he was going to kill Big Bird and all this stuff. There hasn't been any talk about public media so much this time around. I'm not sure how familiar the candidates are with public media, to be honest. But
well, let's hope that it's flying under their radar.
Right.
I think what they don't understand is it's such a tiny budget when you look at the big picture. But gosh, if there's no, if there were no public radio, I don't know what I'd be listening to in the car.
Yeah.
That's for sure. There's programming there you're just simply not going to find anywhere. And a lot of the stations that used to have programming like you guys do that we used to depend on, those aren't around anymore. You know, they're just not there. They're still there, but they've abandoned those programs.
Yes.
And so now more than ever, the kind of thing you do is really a rarity.
We do have a lot of listeners who listen on the daily, but have perhaps never given to the station before. And we've been serving this area. We're in our 41st year now. So there's a possibility somebody has been listening out there for a decade maybe, and they've never pitched into the station before. What would you say to that listener right now?
Oh, they just need to step up to the plate and do the right thing. You know, vote with their conscience and, you know, send some money in. You know, I think it gets down to individuals, doesn't it? You know,
absolutely.
And their responsibility. And I'm amazed all the time at the decisions people make. But this seems like a no-brainer. People should be sending money and they should be supporting public radio.
Well, thank you for your words on that. Better still than the band's covers that I was mentioning before are the litany of originals that you've created over the years. I wanted to play one, and we're going back here to a 2012 release for this cut, Baby, 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 Don't. This is kind
yeah.
of an example of the wide range of sounds that you like to pull from, because I know everybody sometimes just refers to Brave Combo as simply a polka band, but that is far from the case. You pretty much touch on all known genres, it seems, but anything you can tell me about Baby, 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 Don't?
That's a real mashup. I had heard this song before. The main part of the song is a traditional Italian song.
Okay.
But I had heard a Vietnamese singer do a version singing in French.
Oh, okay. Very interesting.
But they changed the rhythm to more of a Latin rhythm. It would be like similar to a polka, but not the same. It would have like this little, like a tarantella. So I heard this version and it really stuck in my mind. And then later on I thought, well, what if we just play it as a cumbia and we write English lyrics? And then at the end, we tag it with Dark Eyes, which is a traditional Russian song.
Oh, wow.
That layers on top of it. So that thing at the end, la da 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 da,
yes.
La da 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 da. That's Dark Eyes.
Oh, okay, that's amazing.
So this song is really, man, there's about four distinct influences here.
Wow, layers upon layers, like a burrito or something here. This is
oh yeah, that's well said. But I have to point out the original inspiration was inspiration for us. We didn't come up with it, you know, and that's one thing I'm always quick to point out.
Yeah.
That a lot of the things that we do, we are borrowing or copying or I hope not ripping off
right.
what we've heard other bands do. And the idea has always been to bring, like a lot of the things we do with the crazy things we do with polkas, half of them we've invented for ourselves, for our sound, but half of them things we've picked up from some of our idols, you know, the
sure.
things they're doing. It's just that it might be, this song might have something that this Tejano guy, this Conjunto guy does, or the way this Polish female singer sings this thing right here, you know. One song might be a lot of different things that we've brought to it. Part of what we're about is trying to show how great this music is, you know, and to play it in a way that it gets other people excited and ultimately that they'll seek it out.
Baby, 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 jump. Baby, baby, jump. Baby, 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 jump. Baby, 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 jump. La 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 la.
I want people to know that Brave Combo's playing in the area this weekend, which is not something we can say every weekend. Is this going to be the first time for Brave Combo to play in Paris, do you know?
No, we played actually a couple of private events.
Okay.
Before, we sort of know our way there. So what's the drive from Commerce to Paris?
It's about equal to the drive from Denton to Commerce. So it's about, you know, an hour or a little bit less.
So I do hope some of your listeners, but your listeners are... they're open-minded and full of spunk, aren't they?
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah. I think that my audience is definitely ready for a Brave Combo show because I've been acclimating them to your music for years here. So this is the first time they're doing this Paris Oktoberfest, and you're going to be on stage tomorrow, I think, for a couple of hours, it looks like, right?
We're doing the afternoon slot. I think we're playing like 3 to 5:30.
Okay.
And then we'll be playing two sets, and I do hope people will come out and support it. They put a lot of energy in. They're trying to, this is their first year, and they're trying to kick it off right and just kind of, like, I think feeling the waters right
sure.
now, you know, and just seeing what it's like. But it would be great if a lot of people came out. And I think maybe the weather's going to cooperate.
Oh, yeah, the weather's going to be perfect. You know, the people that put together this Paris Oktoberfest were very smart to tap into Brave Combo. If you're going to book anybody to play your Oktoberfest, it should be Brave Combo, right?
Well, I can say this. We have a ton of crazy German-style polkas
yes.
Ready to unleash. We've actually been rehearsing. And so we're ready. And people really should come and check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we're definitely playing some appropriate music for it.
I have no doubt about that. And for anyone that's going to experience Brave Combo for the first time live in Paris tomorrow, they might need to do some stretches and come prepared to dance, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Dancing is always encouraged at your shows, and that you're kind of known for your high-energy live performances. So wear your dancing shoes or whatever they call the German dancing shoes. I don't know what those are. They're not clogs, but wear those and your lederhosen. Brave Combo performing live in the area tomorrow, and this has really been a treat, man. This was nowhere near long enough, so let's talk again. I would love to have you in studio sometime if we can ever get you over here.
Man, we can arrange that, and I appreciate all the support, Matt. I appreciate the show and how much support the show has given us over the years. Just man, just keep doing what you're doing as well.
Well, let's both keep it up, man, and we'll keep up this symbiotic relationship. And I wanted to play you out with, I thought, an appropriate tune. Willkommen Oktoberfest. I don't speak German, though I have a German last name, so that's as good as I can do. But thank you so much for being here, man, and looking forward to tomorrow.
My pleasure.
Willkommen Oktoberfest.